الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Monday the 9th of July 2001 we're looking at Surah Yasin. And for the past 2 weeks, we have covered the two themes. The first one being Risalat, that is the messengership of the Prophet, and the second one being the historical narrative of how people used to treat prophets of the past and their messages. Now last time we ran short of time, so we were remaining with just one or two verses to complete that and go on to the third section of Surah Yasin, which is talking about Tawheed. Yeah, we're looking at the verses, what happened to the people after those three messengers had come, and the three messengers, what happened to them. But remember, just to refresh your memories, we had Habibul Najjar coming from the suburbs of the city saying that, why don't you believe someone who is not asking for anything in return and who are guided themselves and so on. After that, we know from the context of the verses that Habib al-Najjar was killed, because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to him about entering paradise. But what happens to the messengers and what happens to the people after that? What happens, as the Quran talks about it, is that they were all killed by simply one big sound. If you remember, we discussed this last time, didn't we? They were all killed by one great sound that shook them wherever they were, that killed them wherever they were, sleeping, sitting, talking, whatever it was, that sound killed them instantly. And then we said Allah does not need to drop in an army to eradicate a town or village. We go on to the next verses. Now, we're starting with verse number 33 today. In verse number 33 of Surah Yasin, starts with drawing attention to Allah's signs. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa ayatun lahumul ardu al-maytatu ahyaynaha wa akhrajna minha habban faminhu ya'kulun. Remember one thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to drive into the minds of people through his messengers one very important thing throughout, is that whatever you're doing today, you will have to answer for it. That means beware of that day, the day of judgment. Now whenever the question of day of judgment came, whenever the Prophet discussed that, or whenever all the other messengers of the past discussed the question of day of judgment, people could not comprehend the concept of giving life again. That how are we going to die and then be given life again? It is that concept that they could not comprehend. So if you focus on that particular issue, they believe in Allah or not is a different issue. They believe whether they will have to answer for what they are doing or not is also another issue. But right now, the thing that bothered them is how can somebody die and that person be resurrected, be made alive again. And you will see that constantly they keep on asking that how can bones that will be turned into dust be brought back to life? Or if you think that we will be brought back to life, what about our forefathers who died centuries ago? Why are they not brought back to life? To show us. So these are the kind of thinking. Their mentality was that they could not comprehend how can someone who has died be brought back to life. And all along that you will see the verses that come now are signs to prove that it is Allah who gives life. And the interesting thing is that Allah all along, whilst discussing the various signs that we will talk about today, all along He is trying to focus on one aspect of it, and that is that if it is anybody who can give life to whether something that did not exist beforehand or something that did exist but died, it is only Allah who can do that. Right? Now, let's look at the first verse, 33. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةِ. And for them one of the signs is the dead earth. The literal words that Allah uses is the dead earth. Right? By the dead earth means, does not mean a desert normally, no. It means an earth from which, how can you expect something to, you put soil here today. Will it grow? Will something grow out of it? So soil alone, put water on it to give sunlight, put seeds. Let's see how far it should go. You see, what it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by calling it the dead earth, does not mean that it is desert. It means that this earth is incapable of allowing anything to grow, except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْبَتْنَا وَأَحْيَيْنَاهَا. That means we gave it life. أَحْيَيْنَاهَا وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا. Then we took out from it حَبًّا فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ. These grains that we eat, these rice or corn or wheat or whatever you call it, all these staple foods. And Allah mentions habban because it is staple foods. Right? Everything comes out from something that is supposed to be dead. Something that cannot give life to anything. It is Allah who has given life to this land, to this soil, and through which these seeds grow and we partake of these seeds. وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْعُيُونِ. وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ. We have put in it, in this earth that cannot grow anything, we have put in it gardens. Jannat, it's not Jannah. Gardens of dates. Nakhil is nakhil, plural of nakhil. Nakhil is a palm tree. Right? You have gardens of palm trees, of date trees. وَأَعْنَابٍ. Here is a very interesting issue here. Because you have nakhil, which is not Tamil. Nakhil is the tree. Whereas a'naab is the fruit itself. In one hand, Allah does not mention dates. He mentions the palm tree. And on the other hand, He does not mention trees that grow grapes. He mentions grapes itself. جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ. Why does He do that? It is because, Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi says in his tafsir that the answer is very simple. It is because when it comes to a'naab, when it comes to grapes, it is the grapes that we benefit from, not the tree that grows the grapes. But when it comes to dates, it is not only the dates, but even the bark of the date tree that we can benefit from.
Here in the translations, they don't say grapes, they say grapevines. That's not correct, is it?
No. A'naab, a'naab is grapes.
The translation of just as vines, grape vines.
In fact, Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi points this, not him only, even Ayatollah Tawatabai Tafsir Mizan draws the attention that a'naab is the plural of a'naab, which is the fruit, whereas nakhil is the tree. But it's just to show that people benefit from the trees or from the fruits. Right? Whatever grows on the earth, we benefit from. Sometimes it is the tree, sometimes it is the leaf, and sometimes it is the fruit. So here he says that وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِّنَ الْعُيُونِ. Even the water that is necessary, we have made the arrangements to come out from the earth. See, it is not sufficient to say, alright, I have done this now, you pour water over it, or you allow this. No, you are not doing anything. Allah mentions in the following verse, لِيَأْكُلُوا مِن ثَمَرِهِ وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِ. husband, so that they may eat from its fruits. What they have not done, وَمَا عَمِلَتْ وَيْدِهِمْ, their hands have done nothing. What have we done? وَمَا عَمِلَتْ وَيْدِهِمْ أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, do they not find in this sign itself something to thank Allah? So whilst, you see, on one hand, it is a bounty, it is a sign of Allah, it is a bounty that we are supposed to be thankful for. It is a bounty where Allah is providing us food from earth. It is a bounty where Allah has provided these dates and grapes and all that. But the core issue of this sign is that Allah can give life to something that is so inanimate like earth. He can create life from it. That is the sign that is there. This particular context in which Allah is mentioning this sign is that this is the sign where something that you can eat from gives life to something that is kind of from earth, from dust, from sand. Right? So, لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Now here, وَمَا is an interesting concept. For those of you who understand Arabic, مَا can be مَا no, as in something that they have not done. It can also mean مَا الْمَوْصُولَ, that means that what they have done. وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ can mean, I don't know how it has been translated in English, how has it been translated?
And made it not their hands.
So that means they have, the translators have adopted what the Tafsir says, وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ, that means their hands have not done anything, right? Meaning that they have not partaken into anything, contributed into anything giving life, right? Whereas some Mufassirin say, although this is a weak tafsir, because almost all Mufassirin say that it is, the ma is ma al-nafiya, that means no. Ma al-mawsula would mean, would read, as so that they can eat from its fruits and what they have toiled themselves. Meaning that there is joint contribution, there is joint participation in the end result of achieving fruits. Whereas the verse goes against that context. The verse is trying to establish exactly that, that no, you have not done anything. We have given life, even the water that is needed for growing these plants, we have split open the earth and sprung forward water. Fajjarna is to explode. Fajjarna is to, I don't know what the word it has been used to. Burst forth. Is that the word used?
You just said, and cause
flow
forth.
Flow forth. Flow is a very soft word. Fajjarna is, you know, in fijar is an explosion.
Gush.
Gush. Gush gives a better meaning. Burst forth, right? Fajjarna fiha min al-uyun liya'kulu min thamarihi wa ma 'amilathu aydihim afala yashkurun.
Is it the same root as fajr?
No. Okay, it is the same, but I think it's a different meaning. Because Fajr is different from infajr, fajr. No, that dawn has nothing to do with explosion of
bursting of light.
Bursting of light. سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها مما تنبت الأرض ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون. It's a very interesting connection. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come into this now? Why did He mention, He praise be to Him who has created pairs of everything? Right? When He's talking of a sign in which He gives life. You know the link is a very important link. The link is where procreation is being, you know, attention to procreation is being drawn to. That while she has given life, He has also made arrangement for continuity of life. That He has given life to these things and then He created them in pairs so that that life continues. There is procreation. Whether it is human beings, whether it is plants, whether it is animals, every time without a pair you cannot have procreation. You cannot have continuity. So the link between that is that not only does He give life in the first place, He has also created the system in such a way that there is continuity in life by making pairs of everything. سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها مما تنبت الأرض plants ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون ومما لا يعلمون. See, it is a very relative statement, and from what they do not know, right? From what they do not know. Mufassirin have said, for example, that the Arabs at that time did not know that even an atom has a positive and negative, electron and protons, for example, right? But then all Mufassirin, especially the contemporary Shia Mufassirin, believe that this verse is not a defunct verse. This verse is not died down. That means there will still be things we will continue to discover, existence of pairs and continuity of existence, and things we will never know about until the day of judgment. وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ will hold true until the day of judgment. So whilst we may advance in technology in our discoveries and find more and more things scientifically that exist in pairs, that gives the continuity of life to those things, but to hold the verse true, وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, is not only referring to the people at that time only, it is referring to people of all time, to you and me, meaning that we will never learn of certain things which Allah has created in pairs. Right? سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها مما تنبت الأرض ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون. Any questions before I go ahead? No questions. We go on to verse 37. وآية لهم الليل نسلخ منه النهار فإذا هم مظلمون. And a sign for them is the night, from which we remove the day so that they are thrown into darkness. I don't know how it has been translated. Is that how it has been translated?
We draw from it the day.
We draw forth from it. We remove from it. It's important to understand the words itself so that you can understand here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these words, there is a certain wisdom behind the choice of words. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ. Now it's going to another sign now. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ اللَّيْلِ. For them is another sign, the night. نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارِ. نَسْلَخُ, literally translated, if you go to the Arabic words, right, literally translated would be to skin it. You know, when you skin an animal, right, you remove the skin from a sheep or a goat, right? That is called silah. So layl naslakhu minhu nahar, that means we skin the light off from the day. Fa ilahum mughlimun, now they are thrown into darkness. Right, now just imagine that by using these words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing to a very important fact of creation. Huh? You see, he's normally asked this question, which came first, light or darkness? Is darkness the absence of light? Or is light absence of darkness? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلِ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارَ فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ. Naslakh, the choice of word naslakh means that the creation actually is darkness which has been clothed or covered with light. And when that light is removed, we are thrown into darkness again, which is the origin. Originally there was no light. It's totally dark. And Allah enshrouded this darkness with light to give light to us. Okay, without light, there can be no life. And that is why I say, this verse also is drawing to the same thing, that this is yet another sign that Allah gave life to even daytime, you know, that the day that we know, by giving it light. So from darkness, from the death of darkness, from the ignorance of darkness, darkness of ignorance, whatever you call it, from there Allah put light, He removes the light and He brings the light back to give life. The first concept was the earth. Now we're talking of darkness, that how Allah gives light back. We sleep at night, we wake up to light again. Right? So when we see light, we know life has started again. That revival itself of our daily routine is an indication that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can take and give life. These are the small, subtle signs that Allah is referring to in this surah, surah Al-Nas. وَآيَةُ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلِ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارَ فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. The source of light in our world, we're not going out of the universe and other stars and other planets. Let us look at our world only. We're looking at our world. The source of light is the sun. That this sun, شَمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. There have been so many different interpretations for this over the time. You will find initially that the sun is fixed, it's not moving at all. And this was because the science was saying it is fixed. And at that time, they could not comprehend the motion of sun, right? So the sun was always fixed. But then science developed and said, no, the sun is moving. So alright, Quran says, Tajri Mustaqarullah. Ayatullah Tabatabai in his introduction, his preamble, that draws our attention to this particular point. Particularly using this example. So, but don't get into the mistake, don't make the mistake of translating or interpreting Quran using science, so that you fall into the trap by proving the Quran using science. Tomorrow if science is disproved. And this is a classic example where you have, you know, about 100 years ago, even scientists did not believe that the sun was moving. Now they know that the sun is not only rotating around its axis, it's also revolving. And together with the sun, we all are heading towards something. For Tajri, now if you look, Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi in his book says, Tajri, you know, there is Dauran, that is, it is going round, rotating, right? That is on its own axis. But the Arabic word used would be Dauran. But when it says Tajri, that means it is moving along an axis. Jaryan is flowing, right? So Tajri limustaqarrin laha is not referring to its rotation, nor is it referring to it going forward and backwards as in seasons. We have it going north towards Capricorn, Tropic of Cancer, and then Capricorn and Equator and so on. No, it is flowing. لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. مُسْتَقَر in Arabic is a point, an ultimate end point. Now, that ultimate end point, where is it? Nobody knows. But as the sun is flowing towards that, it is dragging together with the sun, as science has proved, all the planets and all its satellite bodies. Right? These planets and the moons that are all attached to the sun, they all move along. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. Now, you've got to understand that sun and the force that follows it, is about moon, right? These are two creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are very fundamental to our existence, because our time and calculation of time revolves around the sun. So the whole concept of giving us life, using the light source sun, and then making it so pivotal to our life that all our calculations of time revolve around seasons from the sun, years from the sun, moon, it gives us the calculation of months and so on, our daytime, hours that we have during the day, everything revolves around these two creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والشمس تجري لمستقر لها ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم والقمر قدرناه منازل حتى عاد كالعرجون القديم. And the moon we have set stations, manazil. Manazil is plural of manzil. manazil station. These manazils are 28 days. Every day the moon is in a certain position. So manazil is the position. وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلَ حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. That means that we have fixed its position for 28 days until it returns, it comes back. Right? عُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. عُرْجُون, I don't know how it has been translated, عُرْجُون in English, but عُرْجُون is something to do with the death palm. The bark that is on a palm tree, and as the dates are plucked, there is that small factor, right, which is bluish in color, and it is not very beautiful to look at. It's quite sort of, you know, ugly looking crescent kind of bark that is left on the dead palm, Arjun. Although I have here by Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi a very interesting, he says Arjun in some classical uses of languages is something that is drooping.
Withered.
Is that what's been used in English translation?
In the tafsir here it says Arjun, the sickle-like appearance of the new moon.
Arjun is not specific to the moon.
In the tafsir, there's just
tafsir, yeah. It is signaling to the new light, to a new crescent. That is understood. Mm-hmm. But now,
shriveled.
Right. So what it is referring to is the Arabs understood it immediately. Okay, we probably don't have that picture of a dead tree and palm tree. But when the Arabs were told this, they could immediately tell you the two visions. One is the site of the new crescent, and the other is what Arjun al-Qadim being referred to, is the shriveled kind of bark that is left behind when the dates are planted. The Arabs could immediately understand that how right this is, that new moon looks so much like that shriveled bark of a dead tree. Right. But again, Allah, and mind you, I want you to bear with me all along. You may find this repetitive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Him being able to give life. So even after the shriveling in the date palm tree, you will still get dates growing again in the tree. It's just as that moon that goes back into that phase, in that stage of being shriveled and appearing as if it's gone, and then it appears again, blossoms, and then goes back again. This is why Allah is using such signs to show that it is He who will take it away and bring it back. Who will take it away and bring it back. Just to prove to the people that so many signs in your life, practical examples in your life, where you think this has gone, but I bring it back. Right? That is why the use of moon here. والقمر قدرناه منازل حتى عاد كالعرجون القديم لا الشمس ينبغي لها أن تدرك القمر ولا الليل سابق النهار وكل في فلك يسبحون. Neither the sun will ever meet أن تدرك القمر, meet the moon, nor is the night going to come before day. They are never going to overlap each other. Each one is flowing in its own orbit. وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكِ يَسْبَحُونَ. Falak is orbit, yeah? يَسْبَحُونَ is sabaha, is from the word swim. Sabaha is literally in Arabic. Sabaha means to flow in water or air. So whether it is in air or in water, that movement, that motion of flowing is called sibaha, right? فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. Each one is flowing in its own orbit. Neither one will overlap each other. Each one, and that is what Allah's system, perfect system, where He is showing as they are flowing how He, life subsides and comes back. in our eyes, you know, it goes away, it disappears and it comes back to show to us that our life is no different. It will go away and he can bring it back.
Does Falak actually mean orbit?
Sorry?
Falak.
Falak. Falak yasbahun. Why? What do you mean?
Because I'm thinking the Arabs in that time, did they have a concept of orbit?
Yeah, orbit may be a new word. Orbit is what it actually means is a path.
Orbit actually means a circle, a path around something. I mean, is that literally what it means, or does it?
No, falak means a path. Falak. Falak means path.
And yasbahun?
Yasbahun, floating, swimming. The actual literal translation would be swimming. But like I say, it means flowing in water or air.
Is that the same context flowing as the previous verse, verse 38?
No. That is jaryan. The word وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. Is that the verse you're looking at?
Yeah.
وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي. No. يَسْبَحُونَ تَجْرِي. There is a distinct difference. You see, الْمَاءُ يَجْرِي وَأَنَا أَصْبَحُ فِي الْمَاءُ. That means that the water is flowing. I swim in water. Right? Whereas that يَسْبَحُون means it is swimming in some matter. Either in air or in water, right? Whereas شَمْسُ تَجْرِي, that means it is flowing itself. Doesn't have to be in another matter, yeah? That's the difference. جِرْيَان and سِبَحَة. No other questions, Ya Ilahi. Now, we come to the fourth sign. We have talked about, I think this is the third or the fourth sign. It's the third sign. Thank you.
Normally you say that they will never, they're in their own orbit, the sun and the moon. You know the sun and the moon, you said they're in their own orbit. So you know the eclipse happens.
Yeah.
So there's no mention in here that they will ever, I know they don't collide, but.
They don't collide.
Similarly collide.
No. What happens? Their paths, they pass even don't cross each other. The eclipse is actually each one in its own orbit. It happens to be positioned in such a way that one blocks the light from the other. So when the sun gives out light, if the moon is in the middle, right, the earth doesn't get the light. Or if the moon is at the back, then the sun, earth is in the middle. So you have either moon eclipse or sun eclipse. But it doesn't collide. It doesn't mention anything here about eclipse, of course. That is more scientific details on how it happens or why it happens. Sheikh Murtaza Lidina from Qum, there was a lunar eclipse in Dar es Salaam, I think last week, sometime last week. And they were sending out emails in Namaz Ayat, which should be recited. And he has given at least three different reasons, three ahadiths, why the prayers of Hayat should be recited in an eclipse. I don't remember them all together, but I do remember one, that eclipse is a sign of the Day of Judgment. Right? And therefore, in reminding ourselves that this is what is going to happen on the Day of Judgment, this is how it is going to be on the Day of Judgment, we recite the prayers.
So
what happened in Namaz Ayat?
I know
it's not.
Why
didn't
Namaz Ayat then only? Did it happen in
Darasa?
We will not experience it.
No, because we do not experience.
I know, that's what I'm saying, but then. Okay.
We do not experience it. It's like we recite Zohar here when it is Zohar time here.
I think the point is that it reminds you also.
Well, I mean. Okay, you're reminded when you see it, man.
I think the point is, if it has an effect, it's going to be a global effect. You can't have something so massive just affecting a small place.
So that means it's relative, isn't it?
Well,
you see, it's not a scientific effect on the earth when you're talking about.
So what were the reasons he gave prior?
I'll forward you the image. I have this. It's interesting. It's very interesting. Because it's to do with our personal thing. It's got nothing to do with science that you might have heard, fragile system, chain, it will disrupt the system. It's got nothing to do with that. The ahadith of the Imams are very clear that it is there to remind you. It is a sign there to remind you. One, I am sure, is about this day of judgment, right? The other, I think, is to do with the reviving of life, you know, that if Allah chose to hide the source of light, what would happen, right, and so on. So in all the cases, every time we recite namaz e ayat, is to remind ourselves, we have to thank Lord for what we have. I'll send you the email, it's very interesting. You can send it to us. Right, we come to the third, the final sign before we may move to the next part of Surah Yasin, which is the Day of Judgment. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْخُلْقِ الْمَشْهُولِ. And another sign for them is that we carried, حَمَلْنَا, we carried, ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, that is their families. فِي الْخُلْقِ الْمَشْهُولِ. How has this been translated? I would like to know. English, what was it?
In the laden ark.
Laden ship.
Laden ship. English, what did I say? فِي الْخُلْقِ الْمَشْهُولِ. فَيَعْقَيْ شِبْجَ. Fulk is normally referred to as a ship, right? Although another word for ship in Arabic is safina, but fulk does also mean a ship. Now it is interesting to note that these verses were revealed in the desert, yeah, where people have very limited concept, because they, although sea is near there, it's not that they are in a peninsula. There is sea, but to the people of Makkah who were living in deserts, the concept of a ship and floating in a laden ship was not very clear. And to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to draw their attention. Okay, we carried their families. Duriyatahum is their families. Most of the Mufassirin in the early days could not understand this. And so immediately they took Safinat Nuh, right, and applied it here. You know Safinat Nuh, Noah's Ark. And they applied it here, that Allah is referring to that bounty which He gave to the Prophet Noah's Ark, and says that, look, we carried your children from there, because it is from there that we have continued. Otherwise the rest of the world was wiped out. So it is from there that we continued. So that is a sign for you. However, contemporary scholars do not agree with that, because it doesn't really gel well with the context, the syntax of the verses, that Allah is talking of life after death. Allah is talking of different things here. Allah is talking of signs to remind us. He is not bringing back history, right? So, what is this sinful kilmashhur? And here, I want to ask you to bear with me, because it is not an easy task to venture into this region, because I'll tell you, there is no clear cut tafsir that will tell you this is exactly what it means. We have to understand that, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use these words? What did He mean by it? Ji. Yes, this is where I want to bring in the fulk. The word fulk itself can be referred to any carrier. It doesn't have to be a ship, right? A ship was the means of, how would I say, public transport, but long distance transport at that time, right? And not only that, a ship would go through those adversities in the sea. You know, long distances with no land, right? Storms, and so on. And Allah was trying to draw the attention that you go out traveling, right, against all these adversities, yet you reach your destination, you reach there, who is taking care of you? We have carried you along, right? So Allah is using that specific example of the ship just to show that we have carried you, your people, across land, you know, across from one land to another on the ship. But nowadays, contemporarily, Mufassirin are increasingly of the opinion that this is referring to that very fact, not necessarily a ship, it can be a train, it can be a plane, right? But anything that is laden with people moving from one area to another against all adversity, who does that? That is done with... What is that song? No, that is a fulk, is a physical carrier.
You're talking about mother's womb.
It's a vehicle.
Because here you use the word offspring, you know, just like...
Dhurriyatam. No, offspring is a very English translation.
Can we read this without the benefit of the Tashi? I think we can go completely somewhere else.
No, no, Dhurriyatahum is their families. That means, you see, it has this aspect. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. This is a sign for them that we took against all the adversities, their loved ones, the children. Right? It's got no reference here. I mean, I haven't read it at least, a reference to saying that over the generations, like, you know, saying over the generations, offspring, you know, from one generation to another. No, it's not that.
So what would be this فُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ? So what is it?
Fulk al-Mashhoon.
Yeah.
I would say it is a laden vehicle rather than a ship. Although fulk is, by all means, I mean, if you open a dictionary, fulk is a ship. Huh? Get that right, please. Fulk is a ship. Fulk is, you know, a boat or an ark or whatever you mean. That is why the olden Mufassirin, you know, the olden days Mufassirin immediately picked it up as Noah's Ark and said, this is...
Last week we were talking about Noah's Ark and we said that it's only Noah's people who got destroyed, not the rest of the world. You know, you mentioned that it had to be him, but that's where we all came from.
Last week we were talking about
Noah's Ark, that the flooding was only that his people. And then the animals weren't all the bees and giraffes and rhinoceroses, they were just the farm animals. The animals of those people.
They said it
was the last day, 2 weeks
ago. I haven't said it
was
the
2 weeks ago, was it with the last?
Yeah.
Okay. He said he brought out evidence of a certain area, I think, from...
We were talking about...
...certain area of the world. I think from a couple of ways, from Armenia to...
We brought it up last week.
So they mean the flood did not destroy the whole world, that's apart from Noah's people.
I mean, Allah, when he punishes the people, the prophet, that were supposed to be taught by the prophet, and they, when they chuck the prophet away, when he punishes them, it's always those people, and not everybody else. It's like when we're talking about last week, of Ibn Hajar, it was only his people that got punished, not everybody else. And the animals that they were carrying weren't, you know, every single species on this planet. It was just the animals that they needed to set up a new life.
In that region only?
In whoever was saved. You know, obviously they had to set up again. So coming back, when you know, the people are saying, I don't know how common this is, but when they're saying that they're referring to Noah's Ark because that's where we all came from. That's where the point did we all come from now?
Interesting. You know, sometimes I wonder, when I sit to think, but contemporary Mufassirin, even you know, Ayatollah Qutbayn and Ayatollah Nasir Makarij Shirazi, they all reject the theory, saying that it is a very far-fetched position of an event over this verse. Right? There are no links recorded in a hadith that this is referring to Noah's Ark. Okay, the moment you talk about a ship, and you talk about when Allah talks in verse number 44, وَإِنْ نَشَأَ نُغْرِقْهُمْ فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ, that if we wanted or we could drown them, and nobody would be able to save them, right? Illa rahmatan minna wa mata'an ila hin. In any case, you got to understand that this verse, this line is talking about, I mean, this is, let me just summarize what Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi says in his Tafsir al-Quran. This sign is talking about that concept of mass transport, right, from one area to another area against all oddities and adversities. Now there is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of us. I mean, we know when we go in a car or we go in a bus, we know we are at others' mercy, right? We're not at our own mercy. Then he says, the use of word children, why did Allah use children and did not use حَمَلْنَاهُمْ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, for example. Why did Allah not say them and their children? Allah says their children only. It's because, again, he draws out a point, and he says that it's possibly because when it comes to saving lives, right, people are more inclined to save the lives of their children than their own lives. This is how he explains it, right? And then he goes on to say, وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ, and we have created for them like it what they can board. Similar things. Right? That means, I mean, if you look at it, the broader point of vehicle and mass transport, right, then you can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He has not created the object of transport itself, He has created the system by which we can use different systems of transport. Most likely the first ship, because it's used as an example, but it can be applied more generally. Drown is used only for water, you're right. Hi, sir. That's what you're in for.
Ma'alim.
See, when you elders come and you're silent, Haji. That's what you're in for. Very good. Even if you look at any question, your question is on. This particular verse. Well, they've tried explaining it. I mean, I'm not saying they haven't tried explaining it. Right. Let's come back to our original theme. Our original theme is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving signs which prove that He gives life. Right? And He controls life. And that particular, in this sign, that theme is conveyed in the last verse, in verse number 44. Which says 43 and 44, if you read them together, وَإِنَّ شَأَ نُغْرِقْهُمْ فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَمَتَاعًا إِلَى حِينٍ. Up to a certain point, right? If we wished, we could drown them all and do away with them all, right? فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ, nobody will hear their sound. وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ, nor will they be saved. Except إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا, except if we have mercy on them, except for mercy from us, وَمَتَاعًا إِلَىٰ حِينٍ, and a favor up to a certain time, up to a prescribed time. So even if we save them, even if we let them go, it is going to be from my mercy, Allah says, and up to a certain time. Because that death is going to come. So don't get into, actually the message is that don't get into a lull that whatever you're doing it out of your own power, nor don't you think that you're going to live forever. We are doing this here for only...
Here's interesting, it says, and as an enjoyment for yet a while.
Enjoyment?
Yeah.
Mata'an. It has the sense of enjoyment, there is no doubt. Mata'an is from the word muta.
Is that like being sarcastic or... No, seriously, it's just saying like enjoy your life.
Exactly. Mata'an ila hin. You see, mata'an and ila hin itself immediately is like it punches the balloon. It's telling you enjoy life. Let's say up to a certain time.
It's giving you comfort.
Comfort.
It gives you a lot more trouble as well.
αυτό βάζει άλλο το μεγάλο να το πει.
Μου το λέω η Λαχίν.
It is, it is. It is from the same word. Fact. Let's go on to 45 to 47. Now, this particular verse, we have done these things so many times now, right? And when I say these things, I mean the concept of what lies in front of you and what lies behind you. If you remember, we did this in Surah Al-Baqarah. If you remember, we did this in the early ayats of Surah Yasin as well.
Of course.
Right? So, here I need you to tell me, if you understand, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever He says, whenever He uses these words, مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ. Right? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Right? What is he referring to? Because here it says, and when they are told, hear that which is in front of you and behind you, so that you may get mercy from Allah. Right? So, what is it referring to? Now, I remind you again, we've done this in Surah Al-Baqarah when we were talking of Iblis. You remember, we were talking of Iblis when Iblis told Allah that I will come to a mu'min from what he has in front of him, from what he has behind him, from his right and from his left. You remember that? And similarly in Surah Yasin, first few verses, وَلَكْتُبُ مَا.
We also did this in Ayat al-Kursi.
Huh?
Ayat al-Kursi we did. Ayat al-Kursi.
Sorry?
We did it in Ayat al-Kursi.
Ayat al-Kursi as well. So what is this referring to? Now come on. Khabar ko pade, samjhe ye kya samjhe. Ho gaya. Khulda ba.
When it's talking about what's behind and in front of you, it's talking about what's in the actual literal sense, except that we cannot see through those eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a spiritual level where if the imam goes to see them, they'll see that it's the thing you have to guard against from the kids that they see in front of you directly. That was one of the examples.
Chirak, overlapping two different concepts. Yes.
Isn't it that when it says guard yourself against what is before, is that we should think of our consequences of the things that we have done in the past and learn from the mistakes?
That is Wama Khalfak.
Yeah.
The patronage.
Yeah. Guard yourself against what is behind you.
Okay. And what is in front of you?
Okay, so take the learning from those mistakes and apply the wisdom and what you learn from that in what is going on. Or when a situation similar to the previous one comes again in front of you, then you know in what way you should act.
It's spoken in a metaphorical sense of al-fakum as in that la kullikum wa ma'alikum wa la awladikum. When you leave this world, what is behind you? You leave your wealth and your will and your inheritance and these kind of things and your future. Then I think what is important about your family and things like that.
The key word. So you mean to say Wama Khalfakum is referring to the families and the estate that you leave behind?
As an example.
Okay. The key word here, the key operating word here is mutaq. That means be wary of, or fear, or whatever it is. Right? Ittaqu means be wary of what lies in front of you and what is behind.
Because you said shaitan will attack him. Referring back to Surah Baqarah, on the front, on behind, on the right and the left. On behind in what you will leave behind.
That's true.
From the front in what is going in front of him and disputing.
Safaz, what was your input?
He says, ma khalfakum, what is behind is those actions that you have done in the past, there are consequences which are yet to come in the future. So it's actually be careful. They haven't even come yet. They will come. So what is in front of you is your immediate actions, and what you have left behind, the consequences of which are going to come in the future. That's why you still be wary of them.
You know, the interesting thing is that, yarhamukallah, whatever you have said, you have all said, has been in one way or another narrated by some mufassirin. Different mufassirin have tried to interpret this in different ways. Right? Some say, like you say, the consequences of the actions. So whenever you are aware of, be wary of what you are doing immediately and the consequences and implications of that action. وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ. Right? Similarly, some say, like you say, that be wary of what you have control over that is in front of you and what you are going to leave behind, like you say. So all different mufassirin have tried and interpreted it very different ways. Ayatullah Nasir Makarim Shirazi in Tafsir al-Namuna, he says that مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ is what is in front of you is in this world, right? So fear and be aware of what is happening to you in this world, وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ what is awaiting you in the hereafter. So here, وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ is what lies in wait for you in the hereafter. So in the hereafter, whilst you are aware of it here, that is how it will correct your way. So whenever you think of something, think of this world and the hereafter at the same time. That is when the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come on us. That whenever we do anything, we do any one thing, we have to think of here and the hereafter.
But surely the hereafter then is not behind you, it's in front of you.
Sorry?
The hereafter is not front of you, it's not behind you, it's in front of you.
Wa ma khalfakum as in, what you
say? Then Allah is speaking in Ma'ad. He speaks about
Qiyamah,
he speaks in past tense.
Yeah, he does. That is Arabic grammar. وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ that means that it is behind you, it's going to come to you wherever you run. That's how it is. Okay, wherever you go, tamay pachwarish, awish. No, that's what it means. Right. Okay. You see, this is an Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi, when he says this, he proves it from the Quran, from the verse that comes afterwards, right? He says that if you look at the verses that come afterwards, especially in verse 47, right? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمُهُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. He talks of this as one aspect, one good deed of zakat. Zakat is in charity, of giving. أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ, that what Allah has blessed you with, endowed you with, you spend from it in the way of Allah. When they are told, they say that why should we, the disbelievers tell the believers, why should we feed those who, if Allah wishes, He can feed them themselves. Right. That is their logic. We'll come to that logic later. But try and understand that what Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi is saying, that whatever you do in this world, when you do it keeping in mind the fruits of this world and the hereafter together. So when you say, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that mercy from Allah comes on you or befalls you, you have to do things looking for this world and the hereafter. So when you want to give in the way of Allah, don't only judge it from how much it is or how big it is or how many will benefit. No, judge it together with the intention, I am giving in the way of Allah, so how small or how large is immaterial. As long as it is for Allah, it will work. And then he goes on to give another example, because it's not only just giving money, it may mean tolerance, patience, forbearance, sacrifice, you call it whatever it is. Don't look at that immediate loss. Look at what it means by giving it in the name of Allah, that whilst you may lose short term in this world, but because you are keeping both the worlds together, here and the hereafter, is when there will be mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever you do anything in this world, think about what is going to happen in this world, how much you're going to gain or lose in this world, and then think of the hereafter together, combine them, and then form a decision, yes, I have to do this or I don't have to. Right? We go on to the next verse, 46. وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. This is the mentality of people now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a statement here that whenever these people receive signs, even a single sign, there is not a single sign they will not object to. So they keep on objecting to signs. وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. Whatever you tell them about, they are bound to look for explanation and say, no, but this is that, right? When they wanted to call the Prophet a magician, they asked for it. Remember, the Quraysh asked for the Holy Prophet, Imam Ali al-Islam, saying about the tree, right? That if you call the tree, we will believe in you. And the Prophet said, you will believe in me if I call the tree. The Prophet said, the Quraysh said, yes. And the Prophet called the tree. And the Quraysh did not believe. And they said, you tell half of it to go back. Half of it went back. Tell this other half to go back. And this other half went back. And they said, you are a sorcerer and a magician. We've never seen this kind of magic. So you can imagine, whatever sign comes to them, they will always try to find an explanation for it and say, no, this is not right. But this has an explanation. This can be explained. Whereas never will they sit down to admit that this is a sign from God telling us that we have to believe. And the last verse, 47, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ. This is the other mentality they have. That look, if Allah wants, Allah could have in an ideal world, everybody has beliefs. Allah could have fed the poor. Allah could have made the illiterate very literate. Allah could have made the non-believers believers. Allah could have done anything. You tell us that He's powerful, isn't it? Allah is all powerful. Allah can get that. Can get that done. So why? Why should I feed the poor? That was the basis of argument. Why should I feed the poor? You are saying I should feed the poor, look after the poor. But if Allah wants, He can take care of Himself. Right? And this mentality is that logic that people have failed to understand. It existed at that time, it to some degree exists even today. And you wouldn't be surprised, I mean you shouldn't be surprised, if you find even believers themselves asking questions like these or that signs, you know, the 46 and 47, verse 46 and 47. Even believers, when they get a sign, either, you know, a sign to take them to higher, sublime areas of faith, and the question is, they want to stay wherever they are. Or sometimes, when it comes to this logic, but if Allah wishes that, He can do that. Fine, Allah wishes. Allah can do so many things. But we have to, basically, and that's the principle, you know, foundation when we started this series of tafsir. The foundation understanding of Allah we had was that Allah has created a system, He has created us in it, and He has guided us. This is how you will get to Me. Right? Do this, you will get here. Follow this path, you will get here. Sirat al-Mustaqim, if you remember, Ibn Sirat al-Mustaqim. Follow this path, you will get here. Allah will not get this done for you. We have to do it ourselves. Otherwise, where is the role of the human being? Where is that freedom that we say we are free to do this? It is only with our freedom and belief that we then deserve the bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these three examples and few verses that talk about these examples are mainly concentrating on drawing the attention to people's mind that it is he who gives life, it is he who has set a system which gives continuity of life. Right? So that question that people are asking, that once we die, what will happen? Does not have, this is tawheed, this is, you know, fundamental. And then after verse number 48, you will see as we go on, وَيَكُونُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعَدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. We are now coming into the physical details of the Day of Judgment. So what will happen there, and what people there on that day will be talking about. Which we shall look at, inshallah, next Monday. Being, I think the last Monday. Any questions? Well, I'm going on a trip. I'm going abroad. وصل اللهم على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد.